Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio program. I'm Susan Larison Dan, coming to you on an absolutely beautiful day in the Pacific Northwest, where I have experienced several different aspects of the earth this morning, including seeing this wonderful, wonderful mist upon the trail where I like to walk, and then abundant sunshine and crisp, cool air. So perfect for the show today, where we will be reflecting on the autumn equinox, which is coming up soon. If you may be listening to this show on that date, or even in the future, at any time that you're listening, we welcome you here, because today I am just so delighted to welcome back to the show the wonderful Sonia Grace. Sonia, who I am in such a space of gratitude, has been on the show multiple times now. She has an existing book on ceremonies for the earth, which we will be talking about, as well as a new book. And the book that talks about the fall equinox and all the different seasons is called Earth Ways, Healing Medicine for the Soul, A Practical Guide for Ceremonies for the Earth. And Sonia also recently released a book that covers this topic in additional expansive ways, Become an Earth Angel, Advice and Wisdom for Finding Your Wings and Living in Service. And Sonia brings to us such abundant experience and true grace, just as her name says, because she's been working for over 30 years worldwide, assisting people, helping them find balance, helping them find guidance. She is a healer. She is a counselor. She is a teacher. She is a way shower. And George Norrie of Coast to Coast AM certainly has seen this, because he has even had her on his Beyond Belief Gaiam TV program, and she's been on Coast to Coast AM as well. She gives workshops and retreats and does wonderful conference appearances regularly. And she is just an inspiration, changing the world, changing worlds one life at a time worldwide. And I invite you to visit her website when you have a chance. SoniaGrace.com is her site, and it's up on the show page if you can see that. And I just, with such gratitude on this almost equinox day, I am just so happy to bring Sonia on the air in just a second here. It's a little delay. There we go. Hello, Sonia. It's nice to have you here. Hi. Again.
Hi. Thank you for having me back. It's really a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Well, it's a true joy. And it gets easier and easier to just flow with your introduction the more I come to know your energy, which it really is a blessing to so many of us. And we are in gratitude for all that you're doing. And I'm in gratitude for your friendship, too.
Thank you. Thanks, Susan. That's really sweet. I'm just so happy that, you know, we get to connect on these things that both of us feel very passionate about, and that is
yes.
The earth. I'm just so grateful that you do this show and that, you know, we can talk about the fall equinox or the winter solstice or, you know, any part of the cycling of the earth, because each cycle, each marker, these four major markers of two solstices and two equinoxes are so important and are such a part of the human cycle that we've experienced for centuries and centuries and, you know, hundreds of thousands of years. And yet, you know, as we move further into, you know, our evolution as a species, in some respects we get farther and farther away from them. So I think it's great that you and I are having this conversation.
Well, it's always my hope that we can help inspire people to find their way back, because it's so approachable, isn't it, Sonia, for all of us, no matter where we are on our spiritual mm-hmm. path. The earth is right here, and we can begin that connection today, as no matter where we feel we are. Some people will say, oh, I'm not that spiritual. There may be people listening who may say that, and yet are they really? I mean, how does the mm-hmm. earth call to us at this time of year, Sonia? What is it saying to us right now?
Well, the beautiful part about the autumn equinox is that all of our hard work, everything that we have done last year when we first went into prayer in the winter and started really praying for the things that we were wanting to see happen for us, and then we took those seeds and we germinated them in February, March, they grew, you know, we planted April, May, things were sprouting out of the ground. We had this beautiful garden, this beautiful growth of what we've planted in terms of our hopes and our dreams, and now we're at the harvest, and we're harvesting those hopes and dreams. And we're seeing the cycle. This is the great part about fall, is we really get to see the cycle of life truly at hand, because so many things have bared their fruit and are now done. You know, they've given themselves, they've given us their life, and they're done. And, you know, the trees are letting go of their leaves and getting ready to go into a different state of being dormant in the winter. And so everything's in this great transition, and it's just constantly in front of us to recognize that we are, whether we know it or not, we are in harmony with the earth. And if we pay attention to what that harmonious state is, we can understand at what part of that cycle are we in and how can we contribute. And yes, to the listeners, you can jump in at any time and participate fully conscious in this cycle.
Yes, yes. You know what I find, in fact, I found it just walking, Sonia, is we realize, if we really reflect upon it, even before, or actually in many ways, perhaps we were very aware, fall to me, and many of the seasons in their own way, they connect us to our childhood, I feel. Like in when we were children, we seemed to understand the joys of every season. And fall in particular, as I'm walking, it brings back memories. And you talk a little bit in your book about memories of the past, how they come to us at this time of year.
Yes, they do. And you know, again, it's that cycle that we're in. It's that feeling of having come around with all that we've been working towards. And now as we come into the fall and we're experiencing this equinox, we reflect back. Wow, look at all that I just grew. Look at all that I just manifested. And over the years, look at what has happened for me year after year as I reflect and literally look back on those photographs of the past, reminding me, oh, that's what I did this year. Oh, this is what I planted that year. Oh, this is what I manifested this year. You know, we're in such an immediate get a quick fix society, you know, instant oatmeal, instant coffee, instant everything, that it's really hard for us to, like, sit down and truly look at the bigger picture and reflect upon a process of what we're all building over time.
Yes, yes, so true. And, you know, I always feel an influx of energy at this time of year. It seems like I feel it through having been the child that I was once was and the student fall is a time of new beginnings, and then now as a parent, you know, I've been a parent for many years here, and every fall, and you talk about this as well, how, you know, even though fall is a time for some winding down, it's also these new projects just come into being at this time of year, the energy of it.
That's right, and that is the culmination of those seeds that were planted.
Yeah,
that's not just that we're harvesting what we've prayed for and what we've hoped for, but we're actually seeing it now step into motion. So you're right. We go back to school. Kids are excited. You know, people go back to college. People are going into new jobs. I mean, it is a renewal time, very much so. But it's a renewal time to me from what we have done and built towards since last winter.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I greatly appreciate that. And there's just that influx of energy. Now, what about this time of year? We see the beautiful harvest moons. And this year we've just had some amazing moons. I mean, even all summer. And I wonder if you could talk about that. I know you have a reflection on the moon in your book, and also just what of the moon at this time of year? We all notice it. We all feel it.
Right, right. It's very powerful, and it's
it
is the time when the moon is so close to the earth, and that light of the moon is illuminating so much darkness. And I don't mean darkness in the sense that we have to jump into the duality and identify darkness as something bad or something good, but I mean simply darkness. It illuminates so much. And the moon, to me, illuminates our minds. It illuminates our hearts while we're sleeping.
Yeah.
It is a time when we are really touched by that energy, which is so much a part of our kinesthetic feeling. I'm in tune, my intuition, you know, my sensitivity is really tuned in. And that moon to me, that light from the moon is like supercharging everybody's sensitivity, supercharged.
Yes.
And I have this really nice prayer for the full moon from my Earthways Healing Medicine for the Soul book. It says, "On this night we are grateful, Mother Earth, for your full moon, illuminating the darkness and showing us all that needs to be seen. Our emotional bodies are one with the reflection of light that comes to us on this sacred eve and is a constant reminder of the light that lives within each one of us. We ask you, Mother Earth, to continue to bless us with the abundance of your food, shelter, and warmth. And we ask that you always remember how much we appreciate what you give us. It is with the deepest gratitude in our hearts that we thank you for your beauty, your light, and your love. May the light of each one of us shine deeply in your sacred land."
Oh, that's just, yes, that is so beautiful. And
I think it says
so
a lot as to how that moon can really assist us. Yes.
It does. And, you know, it just feels, it feels like the moon in particular, I mean, it just brings forth that divine feminine energy in all of us, you know, the goddess energy. No matter what our tradition is and how we come to understand that, we can feel it.
Yes, we can. Everybody does feel it, whether you're a sensitive type of person or not. Everyone feels it.
Yes.
There's something really quite magical about this time of year, too, because it is the, you know, it's the little breeze, the smell in the air, that change of seasons, which I know not everyone around the world gets to experience, but for those of us who live here in Oregon, we have definite seasons, and it's just a magical experience to go from really, really hot weather to, you know, the nights cooling down and the daytimes being a little crisper, and there's just a certain smell that comes into the air, and maybe more rain starts to come, and it's a beautiful time, again, of that transition. And I find that as we experience this transition, our bodies are also transitioning. Our bodies are going through sort of a metamorphosis, if you will, as are the trees and the land. But a lot of times, again, even though we're living in these bodies, we miss that.
Yes.
We miss it. And I can't encourage the listeners enough to really pay attention to the signs and everything that we're all being given to be tuned in to what's going on, because what is going on in the earth is often very much reflected in us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I feel that the fall, especially as I get older, although I'm still feeling very young in spirit, but I come to appreciate how there's a kind of surrendering with grace that occurs as you get a bit older that I'd always heard about. But as you come, and it doesn't mean that you stop pursuing new projects, and in many ways it's a renewal, but also there's this, it's a sense of surrender. It's an understanding, as you say, of life itself. And I know you speak of this quite a bit in Earth Ways, how fall teaches us the cycle of life and death, and helps us to come to terms with every bit of the cycle, including those things in our culture we tend to avoid and run from and seem to bury as much as we can, symbolically, although we run from from an appreciation of this, and yet it's to our detriment to run from it. We need
absolutely
to understand the cycles.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right. And really, if there is one thing, I would say that our culture is not on board with is death. We avoid it. We, like you said, we bury it. We, you know, we run from it. We're obsessed with looking young and being young. We're obsessed with everything that has to do with a reversal of that process. And, you know, I work with people every day on the phone, all over the world, long distance as a healer. And I work on livers and hearts and lungs and kidneys, you name it. I've worked on it, and very much like a physician, like an energy surgeon, which is what I'm referred to as an energy surgeon, I'm going in and repairing tissue and lesions and, you know, tumors, everything. And when I go in and work on people, I definitely have that conversation with them, and I go into the conversation of understanding what this is teaching them, because as we're all running from death and running from this natural cycle of life that we are experiencing in full glory in the fall, we are also really we're living in so much fear. We've found so many ways to cure so many things and to have doctors who can fix this, that, and the other, that we've really swung the pendulum way over to the other side, no longer being able to address and deal with death up front in the way that we did for centuries, because we did not have the medical care that we have today. And so it's caused to me a great deal of fear. I have lots of clients who call me who are in tons of fear about losing a loved one or themselves and their own process of dying. I worked on a woman who was in the hospital. Her son called me and asked me to help his mother die, basically. She had stomach cancer. She was in the final stages. Mm-hmm. She was still holding on. And I, you know, I just tuned right in. I was sitting in my office. She was over in the hospital. And I told her I saw, you know, her parents on one side of the bed. And I saw the Mother Mary on the other side of the bed. And she was helping her. And she was hearing her prayers. And this woman started crying, and she said, "I've prayed to Mother Mary for, you know, all this time." And it released her. It was beautiful. It released her because she had the comfort of knowing that they were there and that they were going to help her. And again, if there's ever a message I can give people, it's that death is nothing more than a transition, and we have nothing to fear. There is no scary place that we're going. There is no hell. There is no, you know, purgatory and all the things that we've been told and taught to believe through different religions. That's not happening. It's a straight shot, you know, the white light, the light that you see, that's where we go, and we go straight over to what I call the parallel universe. I discuss this in depth in my new book, Become an Earth Angel.
Yes.
And I really talk about how it is just a transition, and our natural state of being is in spirit form. So we get all hung up because we're in physical bodies going, oh, this is it. You know, this is all we get.
Uh-huh.
We get one shot. We get one life. No, we have many, many lifetimes because as souls, we're infinite. So we have this beautiful transition that we make, and the more that we fear it, the more that we have anxiety about it, the more that we get really freaked out that, you know, we have to leave, probably the harder it's going to be, and we're just incurring more karma around that.
Yes. Yes, I have to say personally, Sonia, my coming to understand that we have multiple lives, because that was not taught to me in my conservative past, and there may be people listening right now who
mm-hmm.
who come
mm-hmm.
from a background where they weren't taught that reincarnation occurs, and yet I will say that if you really want to know the truth, the spirit will prove it to you personally, and that's what happened for me, and it changed my entire perspective. As I get older, it changes everything, because you think,
mm-hmm.
you just see everything within the perspective of, cool, I get to experience source energy completely with no barriers, you know, in between, and then
mm-hmm.
go into something else. I mean, and you know that there are the other lives before, and actually even parallel, because there's no linear
right.
time. And so
right.
it is such a profound, beautiful way of helping me to live now
mm-hmm.
fully
mm-hmm.
in this life. And
absolutely.
It also makes you feel that you don't have to do everything in this life. That too. If you're
mm-hmm.
having a certain experience, you look at it in a different way, like, oh, you know, this is an experience
mm-hmm.
I'm having in this life. I wonder how it relates to what happened in other lives. You know, it changes everything, changes your perspective. And the cycles of the earth seem very relevant. The things that you talk about, Sonia, there's such a relationship because the earth itself has gone through many phases, hasn't it? I mean, the earth
yes.
has a life cycle as well in many lives.
She does. She does. The thing about the earth that's interesting, you know, humans want everyone else around them to have the same experience, or that they can do the same thing that others can do. But this is where the earth definitely trumps all of us, and we are nothing more than mere mortals. because she is truly a benevolent being. I call her
yes.
the goddess, and she, when she has come to me, she is in a very large, large form that is far bigger than any human being. And she inhabits this body called the Earth. And this body is her body. It is how she moves about and morphs and changes. And you know, in our humanness, we don't always think that something could have a different kind of body, even though we have porcupines and raccoons and giraffes and, you know, hippopotamus and all these different wild animals that have different bodies. Of course, you know, that all the planets have a spirit, a benevolent being inside the planet. They live for millions of years, billions of years. They're very old, very, very, like, high vibrational beings. They do not incur karma. They are not in that same experience that the humans are experiencing on Earth. We humans have been in the first and second and third and fourth dimensions where we incur karma. Now that is going to change since we've moved into the fifth dimension. And as we change and the duality splits apart further and further, meaning what is really good becomes really, really good, and what is really bad becomes
mm-hmm.
really, really bad. And it keeps splitting further and further apart because we're moving eventually into a non-dualistic reality. And that means
yes.
that we will no longer measure everything through dualism. We will simply be. We will be because we understand we're in a higher frequency. People aren't there yet. I don't see humanity getting there for another 100 years. But I do see that as people evolve and understand that we are measuring through these two systems, we tend to we tend to forget exactly the point that the earth is a living being. We're so caught up in our own experience. Have you ever talked to somebody who's just so like wrapped up in their life and what's happening? Oh my God, the kids, and you know, the dog got hit, and my husband's job, and you know, they're so caught up that they're not even hearing what you're saying. Have you talked to people like that before?
I've been that person, Sonia. Mm-hmm. I only talked to them years ago before I really, when I chose to be asleep spiritually, that was my life. I mean, I was stressed out and totally concerned about, you know, right around the time of 9/11 and all the stuff that happened back then. I mean, so I know what it's like to be that person. And I know the contrast when you find the peace of not being, you know, and we all have our moments. But yes,
Exactly. And those are the people that I'm reaching out to right now and saying, you know, there is more beyond the immediate drama experience of what you're experiencing.
Yes.
There is more. And there is something much greater that you can tap into by connecting with the earth that is far beyond, you know, anything that a latte and a cell phone is going to give you. It sounds so simplistic. I mean, sometimes people will say to me, well, Sonia, your teachings are so simplistic. But when I get into them and I'm actually working within them, it's very complex. And it's like, yes. Exactly. The earth is very simplistic in what she, you know, provides, and we get that that's a tree in front of us, and, oh, look, there's a deer walking through the field. We get all that, but there's a complexity to the earth that we are not necessarily tuned into. Our electromagnetic fields are completely supercharged by the earth. Every time you walk outside barefoot, you're connecting with that energy. And again, we're in fall equinox. I hope that everyone has good weather and you can go outside and get your feet on the ground and really pull some of that wonderful energy up through your body, because that's what she's here for us for, is to really help heal our bodies and help us with our energy. And you know, we've done a lot of incredible things to block that.
we block it all the time.
Yes,
we surely have.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, even our modern world, look at it. I mean, many people listening may not even have an obvious place real close to them where they can easily walk barefoot upon the earth. Depending on where we are, we totally block that, and yet we have to find our way. I mean, I feel so very blessed to live here in Oregon, where we have accessible to us just the most pristine, amazing places. But, you know, even if we don't have a backyard, I mean, there's a park. There has to be. There's some place that we can go to connect. Mm-hmm. But I know that that's not, you know, for some of us, that has to be a very conscious thing. I mean, you might have to just get out of the city if you're in the city and make a plan to get out there in the nature.
Well, and you know, the other thing that I to acknowledge those of you who are city dwellers and listening, you know, in my book Earthways Healing Medicine for the Soul, I actually have an Earthways prayer for the shower, because I recognize not all of you can go out and find a running stream or a beautiful lake that you're living in the city. You know, and I also have a prayer where you can do a ceremony over a plant in your house, because in that plant is growing in a small bit of soil. And, you know, there's ways around all of this where you can connect with the earth. And quite frankly, I do it every day right through the floor of my house into the ground. And in my grounding meditation that I teach and I work with all of my students and meditation retreats that I do, you know, it's all about grounding your energy and being able to connect with that earth energy. You can do it anywhere. You could be on the 57th floor of a building and still do the grounding meditation. In fact, I do it when I'm flying in airplanes at 32,000 feet.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. You know, Sonia, as you were speaking, this doesn't usually happen with me, but I just had this feeling, either now or in the future, because I can't really feel. There are people listening to this show literally in the hospital, because they're listening, you know, they're looking for things to to listen to in the day. And I wonder what you could say to them, Sonia, because I can feel, I just felt it. I know there is someone out there listening who's in the hospital right now. And could you speak to that, please? Because I can feel it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The thing that I would say to this person or people or anyone out there who is ill and listening to this show, always, you know, utilize your prayer and ask for the highest angels from the angelic force to come and be with you, to heal you, to help you, and really allow the illness of what you're experiencing to be a teacher, because that's what illness is for. It is to teach us. Our illness, be it cancer or some kind of, you know, flu or some kind of, you know, some whatever it is in our bodies, it's a broken bone, whatever. Whatever is going on with your body is a result of the emotional body not getting resolved. Because our homework here on Earth is to feel our feelings, to process them, and release them. And if we kind of miss that middle step, meaning we feel something, we feel, you know, really upset about something, but we don't take the time to process it and release it, we then store it in our body. And that feeling can then fester and brew and turn into something else. So if you're lying there and you're listening to this show, go into whatever that illness is and feel what you feel. Feel what that feeling is and allow yourself, to forgive those involved, and to really release it and let it go on an emotional level. Because when we heal the emotional body, we automatically start a healing process with the physical body.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I feel that someone needed to hear that very much. And I'm glad that you shared that, because and it gives me a broader awareness as well of the people listening in the different circumstances, because your message, in fact, Sonia, when you spoke to that person of Mother Mary, when you saw what I love about how you're able to connect, you're able to meet people where they are, because your spirit is meeting them where they are through you. And that seems so very important. And the whole angelic realm, I mean, we're all about, in this world right now, I feel it is so important. I keep seeing symbols of bridges. I've seen symbols of bridges for a very long time, but more and more, there are bridges for us. And the earth is the ultimate connector for all of us, and the way that her spirit brings us together, and how you're able to bring that forth for people in different situations. And it's a very profound gift to do this.
Yes, and thank you. And I am, believe me, humbled daily by my experience and by what happens for me, which I feel so fortunate, because I feel I experience miracles every day, and they're wonderful. They're incredible. I worked on a woman yesterday who she served in the military. At 21, she was diagnosed with a disease, and I'm not going to be able to say the name of it, but it's where the kneecaps soften to a point where they had to remove her kneecaps. And it's a very unusual thing, but they removed her kneecaps, and for 47 years she's been in pain in her knees. And I've worked on her knees now, I think two sessions I've worked on her knees, and really done a lot of repair work. I've gone in and repaired a lot of the ligaments that were a little too overstretched. Some of them were, you know, real frayed at the attachment. There was all this stuff. She had bone on bone. I went in and worked on the cartilage, the meniscus, and, you know, rebuilt that area. Did just basically an overhaul on both knees. And she was on the phone with me yesterday and just said, I cannot tell you, she says, for the first time in 47 years, she said, I have had no pain in my knees. She said, I am so blown away. She says, I just don't even know what to say. And it was just such a great feeling, you know, to know that this work, and at that time for her, she was ready. She was ready for that healing. Some people aren't ready. Some people are so attached to their pain and their, you know, they did this to me and I'm a victim or whatever role they're playing. They're so attached to the role, they're not letting the healing in. But she was ready to heal and boom, there it was. She's been walking around without any pain. And this woman works with, she has lots of show dogs. She's really active. You know, she kennels people's dogs and cares for them. I mean, she's very active. So it was super, super cool to hear that.
Yes, that's wonderful. And, you know, it really does demonstrate how we each enable our own healing. You know, we may have assistance, and we can surely use assistance, but if we don't enable it ourselves, I mean, you can't work with, I'm sure you've said it many times, your work can only be effective in partnership with another soul who is enabling that work.
Yes, if someone's really blocking me or doubting themselves, it takes longer for the healing to go in there. It does go in. They do receive a healing, but it's very difficult for them to perhaps experience it on a level that they might if they were more open to what they're receiving. People get really funny about stuff they can't see, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, and actually I have a question for you that comes up right here, because as you say, there's a certain unconscious enabling here that's a spirit sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yes.
we all know people who would be resistant. All of us can experience doubt at times. I mean, we do. And it's reassuring to me that you're also able to connect on a higher level with that aspect that always enables, because, you know, the universe is in every one of us, and you're conscious of that. So
right.
there's two levels
right.
to this, it seems,
right.
is what you're saying. It still will work, just a little differently.
Yes, it does. It does. I mean, I worked with a young lady who has an addiction problem, and you know, it's. I've worked with many people with addiction, cigarettes, drugs, alcohol, whatever. And when they're ready, when they really realize the Russian roulette that they're playing with their life, and that their life actually has purpose and meaning, and they have a reason for being here. And I love working with people, you know, who are in this place, because I feel so passionate about helping getting them back on track. But this young lady is really struggling. She's really struggling with a cycle of patterns that she has been in for so long that unless she does the work herself, meaning I can guide her, but she must do the work. She you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. It's like that's where she's at. And it is something that the people who are ready, who do want to give these things up, who do allow for that healing truly to impact them at 110%, you know, overnight, they put it down. There's no more smoking, there's no more drinking, there's no more drugs, nothing. But there must be the willingness to do the work. And with this gal, you know, she's young, she has not yet hit bottom, she has not yet come to that place where she can really agree, I need to do the work. And, you know, I give her my blessings and my love and pray for her and know that the healing that she received is going to move through her in such a way that she will eventually find that place. But see, this I just brought up two really important things, faith and trust. And those are the two things that I see missing in people constantly, day in and day out, is having the faith that the earth and her cycle and where we're at and the weather change, the temperature change, the climate change, the volcanoes and earthquakes, everything that's happening is in divine order, and that we trust that we are in the right place at the right time always, even if it's something adverse, even if it's something where you got pulled over and you got a ticket. What do you mean I'm in the right place at the right time? I just got a ticket. You know, there's a message there. There is a piece of karmic history that's being shown to you that needs to be cleared. And that's what I do with people, is I go through their lives, their past lives, and I clear things karmically so that pattern doesn't have to reoccur over and over and over again. And let me tell you, people's karmic stuff is up big time right now. Big time.
Yeah.
People are being confronted with old stuff from lifetimes back in, 2000 BC, 5000 BC. I mean, really old stuff is coming up because we are cycling as a human race. We're cycling into a new chapter. We are evolving into a new chapter. And many of us who are old souls that have been here since Atlantis and Lemuria, we are now going to move on. This will be our last lifetime here on Earth,
mm-hmm.
and we will move on to the places that we came from, other stars, other planets, other parts of the galaxy and universe. There is a new group of souls that are being born. They're coming through, and they are going to continue the evolution of the human race. They will continue our path that we've been on. But many of us have been here for hundreds and hundreds of lifetimes, and we are truly coming to a close as far as our experience here. I do know, and my guides have told me, that we'll be moving to another planet that is very much like Earth, and we will have another experience, but it will be in a different place.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you speak about the patterns of the Earth, that I got into a conversation this morning with my own teen about the Earth right now and the things going on. And, mm-hmm. It just seems, and although, in this case, I'm allowing this person to develop into their own ways of thinking about the Earth and everything on it, which is very important as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm seeing, it's so fascinating right now what's going on the Earth. I mean, the strife that's going on and the dramas that are playing out that have been with mm-hmm. us for centuries. And it
mm-hmm.
seems like it's more distinct than it's been in a very long time. I mean, just bringing it mm-hmm. back to the absolute most visceral level in a way. And yet, at the same time, there's this amazingly miraculous transcendent level.
Mm-hmm.
It's this breaking away, like you talked about, the two realities in a way. They're more extreme, and yet the karmic patterns of human history right now are just amazingly apparent. And how do we approach this as people who are becoming Earth Angels? In fact, here's a real question for you: as teachers, and we're all teachers in some way, but
mm-hmm.
how do we approach right now, Sonia, what's going on this planet?
My feeling is we must go inward. We must go inside. We must take the journey inside of ourselves and discover all of the emotional wounds of this lifetime and past lives and clear them. So many people call me and say, I have to have enlightenment. I have to have my ascension. And it's like, what, I have to have a Porsche? I mean, really? you have to have this? I mean, this is something that is, to me, it is a natural process. It's just like the third eye opening. You don't force it. You allow it to naturally open. And if this is not the lifetime that it opens, it will perhaps be in the next lifetime. But if a person can see the huge wide span of how infinite we are as souls, then there is then we can all relax and go, oh, okay, we're infinite. I've been down this path before. I have tried to reach for my ascension before, and perhaps I'm just repeating that pattern. Then I can sit back and go into meditation and just relax and accept that it's God's time, it's the goddess's time, it's not my time, and allow for those energies to flow through the bottom of the feet up to the heart and from the top of the head down to the heart, where they meet at our heart, and that's where the magic begins. But we get so obsessed with what we think we need to have or what has to happen, and time and time again I say to people over and over and over, it's not my will, it's God's will, it's the goddess's will, it's not my will. And I can do what I can do, I can do the work that I do, I can guide in the way that I guide, but ultimately, every day, every moment, I am aligning myself with the will of God and the goddess, because my will cannot be at play here. And if there's something that I say to the upcoming and new earth angels that are coming to earth, it is that there is a complete understanding in this fifth dimension that we are working from a place of being in service, and that it truly is the will of God and the goddess.
You know, that is so often not understood, Sonia. And, you know, I am finding that I'm being brought full circle back to certain teachings of my youth in an enlightened, expansive way. Because many of us, and this really brings us together, too, because I was raised with this concept of God's plan, and yet it was in a different way. And what we tend to... It's not so simple to totally understand that we are co-creators, and yet there is still this higher collective will, because we're all part of that God and Goddess at some high, the very highest level, but there are things that are going to happen that we can't totally see at, you know, a certain level. There are just multiple levels of God and Goddess. And I think that sometimes we lose sight of this, because if you get too focused on the law of attraction or and the way it's often understood, sometimes it can get frustrating when things seem to go a different way. But what's really going on is a plan. It's a plan that you can't see, and it's a higher plan. It's always going the highest way. It's just you can't always see what that route is.
Right, because we can all participate in the law of attraction, meaning I can put out really good vibes and manifest people coming back to me that have good vibes. I can be in a bad mood and manifest somebody else coming back and being real crabby with me. That's like the instant manifestation with our energy stuff that happens daily. But the part in law of attraction that I feel many people do not teach and do not address is what karma are you working through in this lifetime that your path is designed in a certain way? Meaning, you know, you want to be a TV star, but you're working, you know, playing guitar in a nightclub. And, you're musical, but you're also an actor, but your career as a TV star isn't taking off. Well, it's because you have karma. There's a karmic deal working out here of lifetimes of experiencing that those emotional wounds of things that happened to you that have now culminated into this great, magnificent Broadway play that's happening called life. And you're the star of your play, but you've got to work it out according to what it is you're here to work on. And that's the part I feel people are very resistant to. It's like, well, what do you mean I have abandonment issues? You know, what do you mean I'm afraid of, you know, of being loved? And yet everything points to that from, you know, what they've experienced in their childhood and relationships and on and on and on. And so, you know, that's what I do with people, is I help them clear this and work through this stuff so that they can perhaps open that karmic space a little bit more and let in some of the newness of what they want to experience. It doesn't mean it's going to tip the scales, because we really do have a purpose as to why we're here, but it might open it up for them to at least be clearing things karmically, which is, I think, what we're all here to do.
Yes.
Well, I know I am. I'm raising my hand.
Yes. And, you know, honestly, this is the lesson that I learned is over the course of my life, and even as I become aware, I have one particular life that's fairly obscure, but available enough to me to research that I know that it's real and I have a connection to this life, I can see similar lessons playing out in both lives now and in the 19th century. And I can say, okay, look, I'm making this choice, or look, this time I reversed this, or whatever.
Right.
But we can be in gratitude for lessons. And you know, we're not just here to be bored and just sit around all day. I mean, I think that life on Earth, if we had no lessons whatsoever to work through, if we had no work to do, even as teachers,
it doesn't matter who you are on this planet. There's work to do. We can be in gratitude for that. And I feel that you teach us that. Many of the teachers who come on this show share that, being in that space of gratitude for these lessons, which is why we chose to come to Earth to begin with.
Right, right. And that really addresses the entitlement that goes on, you know, in many cultures. But there's a heavy boat of entitlement docked in our country that that allows people the idea, the feeling, the freedom of, you know, I can do and be whatever I want to be, which is fantastic. I encourage everyone to shoot for everything that they want to do and become, but understand your karma so that you can work with those emotional wounds and those patterns that you have in a constructive way, not a destructive way where you're this brilliantly talented, you know, singer who is constantly self-sabotaging and trying to ruin your own career. That means take time to investigate, excavate the emotional wounds, and clear that stuff so you can get back to your singing.
Yes.
And in light of the autumn equinox, I really wanted to share something out of Become an Earth Angel, my new book, because I have many conversations with Pan, and as you all know, Pan is he takes care of all of the David Kingdom. He is the one who cares for the trees and the plants and the little people and, you know, the fairies and spries. I mean, that's his whole area. And he came to me with a message to all earth angels. We should not isolate ourselves. Instead, we should expand our consciousness into nature. When we connect with the trees and plants, we are communicating with a higher form of consciousness. The plant world carries messages in its cellular structure and serves humanity throughout the David Kingdom. In the past, instead of cell phones that we use now for communication, we lived close to the earth and messages were transmitted across the forest with the help of nature. For this reason, I encourage people to go outside and tell the trees who you are and what you feel. They will carry your message all over the land, sharing it with the David Kingdom. I think that's just beautiful.
Oh, perfect. That is beautiful.
Beautiful. Yes. And I do. I go outside and tell the trees everything that I can tell them every day. I think it's so important. It's such a way that we communicate that we still have. And hopefully if we ever lose our grid, everybody will remember this and we can all go out and communicate with the trees.
And with the cycles of the sun, you never know what could happen with the grid in terms of. And, you know, something you said earlier made me think that it kind of links us back to that notion of we used to have the wisdom of how to live upon the earth in quite an effective way, and we have lost touch with some of that. I had an experience a few weeks ago where I was without water for a while. And that, actually, I had a water main break. And, you know, at first it came at a time when a lot of things seemed to be going wrong. I mean, talk about lessons. And I was even in tears at one point looking at, you know, just different things that converged at once. And then I accepted this being without water for a while, Sonia, and I started to really connect. I mean, even to, like, past lives as well, who, you know, get a basin, wash your face, just pour the water in a basin. And, you know, I had access to some water. I'd fill the bathtub, and I'd have bottled water and could fill it every once in a while. But what a lesson. And after a while, I realized, you know, I don't need these modern conveniences quite as much as I think I do. It's amazing how we can live so much more simply. Although we're blessed to have some of them, we don't need them as much as we think. And I know we're kind of winding down. This has been an amazing show, Sonia. It's gone by
fast. Yes. Yes, it does. It always goes by fast. And on the note of water, you know, when I'm on the reservation, we have to haul water. There is, in many places out there, no running water. And you really do learn the value and the respect that, you know, that we really need to have for water. Water is a powerful force. It can damage as much as it can heal. It can bring us life as much as it can take life. I mean, it's very, very powerful. I have huge respect for the water. I never go to the ocean without taking prayers and really acknowledging, you know, that incredible force of water. And I feel that, you know, for the listeners who have, you know, been with us through this show, I'm so, so happy that you got to hear us talk about all of these different aspects of Earth and you know, the fall equinox and water and, you know, everything that we've touched upon, because it's all related. That's the cool thing.
Yes.
And we are all related.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We are all connected.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the message of water. I think water restores our spirits. It really does. And we can celebrate our connection to the earth,
mm-hmm,
every day. And so with that said, here's what I'm going to do with the rest of this show. Just so you know, I want to say thank you first, Sonia, for being here. Thank you so much for your presence here today.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me. It was really an honor. Thank you. You're a goddess,
yes,
in my world.
Oh, you're certainly a goddess in every world to me, and
oh,
I appreciate
thanks.
That. And I want to remind the listeners of your website, which is soniagrace.com. And what I'm going to tell you, what we're going to do is we're going to do these logistical things, because I'll talk about the next show and thing. And then at the very, very end, what I'd like to do is just say your prayer for autumn.
Mm-hmm.
And you can either say it or I can say it right at the end before I play the music. And we're coming to that fairly soon, but I think
I'd love for you to share it. I think you should share it.
I will do that.
Okay?
I will do
okay.
that. And so what I'm going to do now is first very quickly ask you, do you have anything coming up logistically that you'd like the listeners to know about? I know you have retreats and different things that you do. Please do let them know.
I do. I'm so excited. And there's still room. You can still get in. But on October 9th through the 12th, I'm doing a healing meditation retreat down in Southern California at Joshua Tree Retreat. And it is really a magical 4 days of healing and really experiencing a lot of what we just talked about, excavating old emotional stuff, getting those wounds out, and really healing at a deep, profound level. After that, I'll be doing a workshop here in Portland, which is on my website. And the big thing that I'm super excited about is I'm doing a sacred site meditation tour through England of all the megalithic sites, Stonehenge included. So if you're interested in that, be sure and email me, because I'll have the details of the trip up on my website by next week. So I'm really looking forward to finally getting to go back to England, where I have spent many lifetimes.
Oh, Sonia, that sounds
yeah.
so amazing. I have to tell you, that particular retreat of yours so attracts me, because
oh, well, you have to come.
Actually,
I'd love for you
your
to be
work
there.
Attract is attractive.
Oh, you
but,
have to
but
come.
Yeah, I mean, what a wonderful thing, the sacred sites.
I know.
And so I am just so thankful for the work that you're doing. And
you.
This may go off into the podcast a little, and I know you may even need to disconnect if you have an appointment, Sonia, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell the live audience, if I get cut off during the prayer, you can hear it in the podcast immediately, or you can just dial into the teleconference right now, which is 310-807-5104. I'm going to let people know that the next episode is coming up pretty quick, next Monday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, with another person from the Pacific Northwest, the Reverend Christine Green, who founded Sacred Heart Ministries, is going to talk about living as love. And I'm really looking forward to that.
one more thank you to you specifically, Sonia. And
thank
then
you
I'm
for
gonna,
having me.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you here. And a mention to the audience, frontierbeyondfear.com. And now I'm going to enter into a sacred space, mostly for the podcast, but you'll feel the energy live, those of you listening, and say the Earthways prayer for autumn. In this conclusion of your vibrant summer, I ask you, Mother Earth, to receive my gratitude for the harvest and all of the abundance that you provide. I ask that the ending of this cycle be blessed with the closure of your wisdom in helping us prepare for the winter. Your cool breeze and nighttime chill reminds me this is one door closing and the preparation for the next season. In this autumn, I pray you, help me to transition from the warm summer months to the cold winter days, with the sun shortening my days. In gratitude, I thank you, Goddess, for your support, and send my love deep into your land. Thank you.